So a couple weeks ago, last week we had testimonies from the kids from camp and kids and leaders. And 2 weeks ago, we did a little interview kind of a thing. And we had, we had Linda share. And the whole point of sharing is not just to share testimonies, but to share how, in the situation that you went through, how did you trust God? What helped? What nuggets did you learn? You know, what were some of the difficulties or whatever? So Linda was kind of about trusting God. You know, her and Greg had to walk through, you know, with Matthew with some medical issues and kind of trusting God when you're afraid, when you've got just wow, what does this future hold for that? And then Jesse and Libby came up and shared and talked about trusting God when you're kind of discouraged and disappointed and frustrated that things aren't turning out like you think they're gonna, and that was so awesome. And little nuggets from there. And then Alana shared, she's somewhere, shared about trusting God when you're overwhelmed. How many know that life sometimes is overwhelming? How do you keep your head above water, and how do you trust the Lord when you don't even know if I can make it out of bed or get the kids fed, you know, whatever, because you got so much going on. And so my other friend Jim is gonna share today. And we're talking about kind of trusting God going forward when you've got a big vision, but you don't know really what that looks like, and you've got something stirring in your heart, kind of more on that end of things, yeah. So we're talking about trusting the Lord, and we've been obviously walking through a season of where, as a church, we're having to trust the Lord for different things. And so personally, you know, why don't you kind of bring us up to speed on some of your journey and where you came from, where are you now, and where are you going?
And I'm supposed to do this in how many minutes?
Well, yeah, you know, a few.
just a few minutes. I would like to say right from the beginning here, if you've been paying attention to the worship and what's shared so far, that we're really being drawn in to really focus on Jesus and press in to Him. Yep. And that has to do with us trusting that He's who He says He is, and that His promises are what He says they are, and that we as His children can be involved in it and be a part of the success and the future of the ministry. So some of what I'm going to share is some of the things we've done, but we're going to go from our background a little bit to kind of share some of the crazy places we've done to Watford City, which was last before we moved down here, but what our ministry and our future vision is to see happen here at Christian Outreach Center. Okay, so that's kind of how it'll go. And I'll talk a little bit, and then he'll stop me and say, the question was this. And we'll get back to one of the questions that he actually had asked me, because anyway, so Kathy and I met at Trinity Bible College in Jamestown, North Dakota, and then it moved to Ellendale. And it was called Trinity Bridal College back then. So I did what I was supposed to. I picked me a wife. And
Trinity Bible College.
Yes. And her claim is one of the professors told her that she would be good for me and that she should just be patient. And she constantly tells me it's been 51 years, and as soon as I get to heaven, I'm going to be talking to Paul Davidson about what patience, being patient, means, because it's been 51.
A little too long.
Yeah, 51 years. But, man, she's followed me all over through some pretty goofy stuff. So we met there, and then we'd been married like a couple months, and got a phone call from a friend of a brother and ended up moving to Bemidji, Minnesota to join a gospel quartet. So I jumped on a bus and headed down the road. Well, now we've been married like 2 months. Kathy's sitting in Bemidji, gets a job at a restaurant, and we'd be gone a couple weeks at a time, and then we'd come home for a few days, and then we'd take off again. We'd sing around the Midwest here at churches, and actually that's how we ended up meeting Lowell. We sang at some of his crusades back then. But after the quartet, then this other couple and Kathy and I decided, well, you know, we'd kind of like to do this on our own. So we bought two mini homes and called ourselves Love Edified, and away we went. We started traveling and singing in churches until we were absolutely and totally broke. It took about 2.5 years. But we were able to just squeak every dollar out of anywhere we could get it. I mean, we did stuff like painting barns and all in between times when there weren't services and there wasn't enough. You know, so you learn some things about trust and, you know, is this you, God? Or are we hearing from you or what?
Trusting the Lord is good. You know, that's all well and good until there's no food left in the cupboard.
Yeah. And it's always good to encourage other people to trust the Lord for their situation. Yeah,
that's good for you.
I'm good at helping encourage. You just trust God on that. You know, I'm with you all the way. Well, then we ended up in 79, moved here to work for Lowell Lundstrom. How many were around, know who he was? There's an evangelist here. And so that's where I learned a lot of things. I was Irv Slomet's helper back in the day when I started in 79, and then was a general manager when I left 10 years later, and was office manager and did the radio broadcasts and work on record albums, learned a whole lot of different things, and then moved and worked for two different ministries down in Texas. And, you know, the whole part of everywhere you go, you're learning things. The first one I went to down there was a group called the Power Team, and they did all this power lifting, and they, you know, broke handcuffs and baseball bats and rolled steel bars in their mouth, you know, and carried refrigerators around and broke just tall things of ice and all that. And all these kids would come and they'd talk to them about Jesus, and it was a good deal. Except when I went down there, they were going to have everything all taken care of and ready, and there wasn't going to be any debt or anything, and we're ready to go, and we just need some good leadership. And I get down there, and this guy has this brown expandable folder full of bills and stuff. They had no idea what they owed. They had no accounting system, nothing. Well, by the time we got it all figured out, they were over $1 million in the hole. And the phone was ringing off the wall all the time. You know, we need money, we need money, we need money. And then they do these crusades, like a 3-day crusade. They'd spend $100,000 on this crusade buying advertising and motels. And these guys are all so big, they all fly first class. And a lot of times their wives would go, so they went, unless they decided not to go and go shopping instead. And then you had all these flights. And so I had to hand deliver, this is just to give you an idea sometimes what kind of stress you go through, okay, in this process. I had to hand deliver a check downtown Dallas to American Express office every Friday to try and keep the account open. That's how we managed, because they'd put all their flights and stuff on there. And, you know, there weren't cell phones then, so, you know, you'd call the main fellow when he's out at a motel or something somewhere and say, here's where we're at and here's what we need. Okay, I'll make a few calls. There'll be checks coming. And the checks didn't come. And I didn't have any way to get a hold of him, but my phone didn't quit ringing in the office. And so one day I was in the closet with the door shut, not knowing what to do and not wanting to come out. And Kathy called the pastor and said, you better come talk to Jim. And so he came over and talked to me, and I was stressed beyond belief. But what I learned through that process and what he shared with me is Jesus and the Holy Spirit's the only answer to this. Amen. First of all, for you, and then for the ministry, whatever happens to it. Well, after 10 or 11 months, then we ended up leaving and coming back up north, and then we were back up here for 6 months, and we went back to Texas to work for another evangelist for 2.5 years. He's a tent evangelist, R.W. Shambach, and he set up tents. He'd set them up 6,000-seat tent. They had six semis that they'd haul all the chairs and poles and equipment and bookstore and office, and they'd haul it around and set up and do these huge crusades, and I got to go out and sing at some of those. But they do this ministry, and I came into a mess there, and I don't know how that happens. It's getting drawn into messes, but anyway, I guess God figured we could handle it. But after 90 days, I said, when I knew some of the issues going on within the family and so on, and I said, tell you what, I'll come for 90 days, and you can look at me, and I'll look at what's going on here, and then if either one decides this isn't a good fit, you know, no harm, no foul. Kathy and the kids were up here. So after 90 days, I said, no, this is not a plan. And so we'd met the fella that was running the A&W in town and Roy Lake and the A&W in Webster and Sharon Steakhouse. And I think there's one other thing. So I was going to help manage all of this. And we were going to live at the lake upstairs where there's now apartment things there at the resort. And Kathy and the kids were going to help with gas and boat rentals and stuff like that. And we thought, boy, think of all the ministry. We can have people come out from the church. We can do, you know, young adult things out here and all that. Well, after about less than a week, I realized I'd missed God big time. I mean, I've never been so miserable in my whole life. I don't know where God had went, but he wasn't where I was. And the people from Texas were calling just about every day saying, you know, you really need to be back down here. They didn't know how miserable I was, and I didn't tell them, but there was a few things I'd wanted to do when I was there that in that 90-day thing they weren't willing to do, but now all of a sudden they would do anything. And so they ended up sending a van up within a couple days, and I threw my stuff in there, and I went back to Texas, and Kathy stayed up here till school was out. But, you know, see, there's these stresses and things you go through in your life where you say, all right, God, you know, I mean, I'm trying. I'm willing to reach out. I'm willing. You know, that's what God's looking for. Is everything going to be all totally success and roses and big, beautiful everything? Not always. But every one of those situations you learn things from.
I love that. 30 years later, that I've heard you tell this story a couple times, you know, but the being in the closet one and whatever, and just seems to be as vivid of a memory 30 years later as it, and such a deep place of hurting, and yet you remember what that pastor said, that, man, Jesus is the only answer. And that nugget has stuck, and you've watched that play out now all these years following. And I love that if you'll not just complain your way through a situation, take the time to actually absorb, all right, what am I learning from this? Because that goes in our journey of trusting the Lord. Amen. That's part of this journey that we're on. It's not a destination. It's a journey that we're learning. And so we're not wanting to miss those. And I love that you bring all those little nuggets up, that it wasn't butterflies and rainbows and unicorns. And it wasn't. But we learned to trust the Lord in the middle of that.
But while you were saying that, this old chorus came to mind, where could I go? Where could I go? Where could I go but to the Lord?
Right.
I mean, that's really what it was. You know, where could we go? Are we going to put our trust, you know, in the Lord, which is a big key of what we're sharing about. So then we ended up going up to Watford City, and we'll key on that a little bit more. I'd been up there driving a payloader in Scoria Pit, and driving around, there's these thousands of new people moved to town. A town about the size of Sisseton was now 8,000 to 10,000. It was just chaos. There wasn't housing, there wasn't road support, there wasn't a lot of things. Grocery store, you could stand in line for a half hour, 40 minutes. There weren't, you know, just enough checkouts, and everybody's, you know, they're 50 miles from anywhere bigger. You're going to buy your groceries there. And so it was a good place to learn about people. So we'd stand in line, and because I just can't stand and be quiet, you know, I'd say, hey, what's your story? And then they could go anywhere they wanted to with that. But I learned a lot of things during that period of time. And then when we came back, I was after driving Scoria late that fall, and we were helping with worship in Watertown at Cornerstone United Methodist Church, and talking about the need up there and all the people moving in. And I said, the frustrating thing is, I said, is the churches all have signs, just made a little bigger, everybody welcome. But I said, nobody's going out where they are. You know, all these man camps and these campground stuff everywhere. And when I drove in the payloader, I wasn't getting any exercise. So then at night when I'd come to town, first I was walking around the track. Well, that got boring in a hurry. So let's walk to town. And I'd be walking by these churches and praying, you know, God help them to, you know, be able to minister. And then that morphed into, God, what can I do? And that's how we ended up going up there for the United Methodist. So we're talking about miracles. So every year the conference would take an offering. They'd call it a miracle offering for a project they were going to do. So the offering for this one was to start a ministry up in the Bakken. They were hoping that the conference was North and South Dakota together, all the churches. So they were hoping for a $100,000 offering, and it ended up being almost $270,000. Well, that woke them up in a big hurry. So God was in it right from the get-go, you know. And so we went up there, could not find a building, you know. Trying to find a place.
I know, just for time's sake, you know, you're kind of just rushing through the. But I think it's important that you kind of skip the whole tension between, you don't know, you're trusting the Lord for your your personal future. Yep. You know, you were driving for Cass Clay for a while, and you know, which ended up being some really good stuff. But then just this. Then you driving payloader then, you know, and whatever, and this tug on your heart that God was putting this desire for what am I to be? And I love when the prayer morphs into, you know, hey, I'm praying for them, and then it turns into what can I do? And the story jumped really fast between we're going to go to Watford City and they took an offering for us. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of tension in between there of, we've got this heart to see God do something in Watford City. God, we're praying about this. We want to see lives transformed. We want to see God reach these man camps. We want to see all these people that are hurting and broken and you know, without Christ. How can we help? And they're like, there's no way we can do anything. And that all was in between, you know, you driving payloader and them taking an offering for you. So I just wanted to bring that out, that there's a lot of struggle with the Lord and a lot of learning to trust God. All right, what's the next thing?
So they didn't know, you know, what to do. So they call it a helicopter drop, where you just go in there and you figure it out, you know. But, you know, the ministry, 10 years with Lowell, and then the two ministries in Texas helping start Christian Outreach Center. We were there in the first Sunday. Kathy and I were the first worship leaders. Didn't talk about that at all. But you learn all these things so that when we went up there, there was no fear. It's just, okay, what do we got to do? Let's figure it out. And, you know, let's partner and get together with people. What we do know. And, if, you know, if all of a sudden the lights went off and we were done, and this is the last thing you hear. What we do know is that God's heart is always for the hurting and the lonely and those in need. And our responsibilities are to do what we can. That means not staying in our comfort zone. That means being willing to get involved and to take some risk and to step out and to do some things and then see what God does. You know, so we couldn't find a building, so we bought a used toy hauler travel trailer and converted that into a thrift store. And we pulled that around to different churches and to the parking lot of the grocery.
If you could find a building, I mean, what kind of money are they asking for?
Well, there was an old grocery store, would have been like the old Super Value or whatever downtown. They wanted $1 million for it. Well, we don't have anything.
Did you have $1 million?
No. Didn't have $1 million. But that didn't change the need. You know, we said, well, we'll wait. You know, that there's a big need, but we got to have a building. Well, no, we had a travel trailer. And then we sorted in the basement of one church. Eventually, we were renting 5 storage sheds to keep the stuff in. Summer, winter, you're going, opening the door. You know, this is unsorted. This is sorted this and sorted that. This is summer. This is winter. You know, trying to keep it all organized and pack what you can into this travel trailer to pull around. It was a toy hauler, so in the summer you could open the back door and people come in the back and go around out the front. Basic then, it was pots and pans and dishes and coats and gloves. So many people come from the South had no clue. Heaters, man, we went through a gazillion. We'd buy these little heaters and they'd plug them in. They'd be running a couple, 3 of them, trying to keep warm in the winter, you know, with the furnace. But, you know, you just did what, you know, you did what you had to do. The first coat giveaway that we did, we collected coats from all these different churches and met different places and picked them up. So we set up in the Cashwise parking lot, talked to the gal who was the manager then, and now is back in Minnesota, that we're probably going to see in a couple weeks. I said, can we set up out here and do coats? And so we set up a perimeter and a sign in place, and we had a generator, and we had lights and all kinds of coat racks, and got together a bunch of volunteers. That first coat giveaway, we gave away over 420 coats. 420. I mean, we got up there in July. Now it's, you know, September, October. And somehow we ended up with 420 coats and generators and everything we needed to make it happen. And that, you know, that we have, I have some notes here. I won't have time to read them, but from our going away thing, it's amazing how many people remembered that first coat giveaway where they, you know, I mean, God used it for launching, and we had no clue. What are we doing? We're trying to get coats to get to these people who don't have a coat, right? I mean, that's as far as our we were looking, right? But then, you know, God took it. The need was there, and we were trying to be faithful. And then a Christmas toy mall that we set up. All these people are at Christmas, can't go home. They got all these kids, and they don't have any money, you know. And so we'd give brand new gifts to kids, and we'd sort them by size and age. They'd get a ticket, and we did music and a meal and had a ventriloquist. You know, going above and beyond, trying to be extravagant, not just do the basic, you know. Make it something meaningful, you know, that shows that you're not just giving something to help, that you want to care and want them to feel involved and to feel loved and to be a part of something. So, boy, time's going fast. So I'm jump ahead a little bit. This was yesterday, okay? In Watford City, I talked to the gal last night. Yesterday, this ministry that went on, we hired a new director when we left, set it up as a nonprofit. Yesterday.
So how long were you there, just to give them context?
6 years. So we went up there in 2013 and left in the summer of 2019, just before COVID.
Okay.
So now it's 2025. So we went from the travel trailer to renting a 40 by 60 metal building that some people had and were doing a business out of. And just so happened that one of our board members, who was a gal, her husband owned this building, and we ended up renting that. There's also 50 by 90 Quonset on there, and I'd say, well, can we put some unsorted stuff just in the front corner, okay? Well, pretty soon, we've got the 40 by 60 filled up. We're going halfway back in the 50 by 90, and then he decides he was going to put up a new building for his construction business, so he wanted to sell that property. So, oh, my goodness, we got to do something. You know, so we went to the banks, you know, and said, hey, you know, we need some money. I forget what the price was. And, well, you know, we're not selling 10,000 or 50,000 widgets. We're living on donations. We have nothing to take them except our word that we, you know, we can make this work. They wouldn't help us. But then God showed up, yeah. And the people that own the building, the fella's dad says, you know what, it'd be better for you financially if you sold it to him contract for deed. So we ended up paying, the monthly payment was actually less than what we were paying rent.
Wow.
And then we ended up with both buildings. And then we insulated the Quonset, and we got heaters in there. And now there's a commercial washer and dryer, and on it goes. And now the building.
Yeah, because if you ever tried to wash 500 or 700 pairs of jeans in a home washer.
The things that people would bring to donate, one day it makes you madder than a hornet, and the next you're just tickled that somebody brought you some new stuff with tags on. But, I mean, you had everything in between, and you had to wash so much. We hauled it up. We lived in a third-story apartment that was a walk-up, and we were hauling bags up to the apartment to wash stuff in the beginning, paying $2,700 a month for a two-bedroom apartment. Kind of getting started out there. Anyway, so now they're up there. Yesterday, they had a backpack school supply giveaway. They gave away 300 backpacks that were all people already had signed up for. This wasn't just show up, we have a backpack. These are people that already said, I want one, I need one, we're going to be there. They fed between 250 people. They had hot dogs and burgers. They had bouncy houses. They played bingo. They had pinatas. They had an event. And then they had a devotional, always putting in a devotional. I mean, you know, God's good. And God's here. You know, we're here to help you. And God loves you. And God's going to help you. That's where that went. Okay, so the property that we had there that we bought on contract for deed, that's paid for. And the conference had advanced this money when they ran out of money. I didn't even talk about that part. And they met with us and said, well, you got till the end of July, and then the money's out.
And so trust God. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it was. We hope you can make it.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what kind of stress that was when we're just trying to hang on and keep things moving and flowing, and all of a sudden we have to fundraise? But God did it. God did it. God showed up. The churches, the people, we kept, man, I was part of Rotary. We'd go to Chamber of Commerce. We started a group, a number of us called McKenzie County Cares. There's all the different agencies in the county to meet together every month. What do you have? What do we have? How can we help? What do you got? You know, if we need this, if we need that, who do we go to? You know, and they're still meeting today. You're talking about what a great ministry to have the community understand and know what the different pieces and parts are doing. So anyway, they paid the conference back just within the last couple of weeks. They still owed them like $35,000. So they paid them off. They've got $125,000 in the bank, and they're planning and working on plans for a $1.3 million new building. Wow. That started out in a cockeyed travel trailer. Uh-huh. Did we have a clue? Any idea? No. But what? We were faithful. Yes. And we cared. And what we did mattered. It still matters. It still matters what we do as a church, whether we're down there, whether we're here, whether we're going to go up on the hill. You know, God wants us to be faithful and to keep reaching out and to keep trusting Him. And when we say it's all about Jesus, He has to be the center. And when I went up there for a meeting a few months ago, I said, are you touching people when they come through the store? The store was to be able to a chance to meet people and help people, but to find out about their story and pray with them and encourage them. They said, well, we're too busy. In the month of June, through this store, they had 2,100 transactions, and they're open 3 days a week. 2,100, that's 2,100 people coming through checking out with stuff. And in between, they're trying to stock and do stuff. So now they've started a new deal after we were up there of people that come in at their only job is to walk around and talk to people and find out what they're doing and what's going on in their lives. Because if we drop the ministry part, we're just a store. You know, if we're just coming here because we like being here with the people that we know, we're just a family, we're a social unit. You know, are we Christian Outreach Center? Christian Outreach Center, that, you know, we're heading to that, you know. Well, you know, what's our faith? Where's our faith level? What can God do? What can we believe God for? I mean, I can believe God for a new building up on that hill big time. Matter of fact, I want it. If I had the money, I'd pay for it. But, you know, why? Because we could do more ministry. We can, you know, do more outreach. It's a place where more people can come. It's in town. It's close, whatever, those types of things. God gave us this terrific in time, on His time, so we had a place to go without really losing a beat. And you people all pitched in and helped and worked. It brought us together as more of a body. Right. We have a purpose. There's a unity to it, but it doesn't stop here. You know, let's not just get nice and happy and comfortable here because it's not big enough. You know, we need a youth area. We need, you know, we just need more access to things. So, you know, what's God going to do? And there, one thing I wanted to read here, and this is out of Numbers. I'll try and condense this. How did it get to be noon ready? My word. So the story of Moses sending the 10 spies, okay, into the land of Canaan and going in and he... Moses appointed and sent them all in, and they explored it for 40 days. So they went up and explored the land. And then, so they came back, and here's what 10 of them said. The people who live there are strong. Their cities are walled and very large. We even saw Anakites there who live in the southern part, and they were all these, and they were giants. And the men said, well, we can't go up. We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And those men gave the Israelites a bad report. And here's Caleb telling the people, he says, be quiet. We should certainly go up and take the land for ourselves. We certainly can do it. I'm really condensing here. And on the next page, he says, the land we explored is very good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He'll lead us into the land and give us that fertile land. Don't turn against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people in the land. We will chew them up. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. There it is. There's the tension between trust and fear of what could happen or what might go wrong. Right. You know, where's our hope? Where's our trust? The Israelites wandered around the wilderness for, what, 40 more years until everybody died except everybody under 20 years old because they didn't believe. They chose to live in fear of what could go wrong and what could be. Are we going to be the Joshua and the Caleb? All right, God, whatever you got, we're on it. We're trusting you. This is yours. It was his from day one. It's still his. The Bakken was his from day one. It still is. And God's still God. And God's still holy. And God's still wrong. And God still has a plan. Jesus is the answer. I'm quit there.
Wow. Same goes with your job. Same goes with your family. Same goes with your future. It was his to begin with. It's still his.
I got one little story. So when we had our going away thing, they put out these cards for people to write on. I just wanted to read this one. There's a bunch of them, but you'll see why in a minute. It says, "You will never know how grateful I am that God placed you in my husband Kenny's life in the timing he did. It was a relief knowing that he had someone godly that was there for him and maybe watching over him." So this guy was in jail because he'd gotten in a bar fight and he had to do community service. So they called and asked if we could use some help. So I brought this guy in under my wing and had him help me with projects and do things, encourage him, and had him come. We had monthly meals, you know, and devotion, got him involved in that, helping with setup and doing all these things. Well, now they're part of the Assembly of God Church, and they're both involved in ministry there, and their kids are, and I mean, God's doing great things. So, what's today? Sunday? Yesterday. Either Friday or yesterday, I got a Christmas card from them. It just came now. But I mean, you know, what we had invested in them, you know, why it's this late, I mean, maybe they just got them done. But I mean, we meant enough to them, and now they're a family that, you know, that's serving God and plugged in, you know, just from him showing up needing community service. You know, you just do, you know, what your hands can do and how you can help. Just be there. Be, you know, be willing. You know, we can easy live in our own world with tunnel vision. You know, God wants us to be seeing around and seeing through his eyes. You know, Dallas Home wrote a song, "Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes, a world that's hurting and needs help. And who's going to help them? Who's going to stand in the gap?" Yeah. It better be us.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Yeah.
So a couple nuggets that I'm taking away from this is, and don't miss these, guys. Don't miss these nuggets. So the one we kind of already talked about is don't waste your season where you're trusting the Lord. So anyone ever had to trust God for anything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a few of you. All right, good. All of us. And we've all been in these, whether it's the fear of the unknown or a discouraging time or an overwhelming time or a big vision for the future that we don't know. I don't know. There's no way that I can see that this could happen. I'm going to trust the Lord. So, but in those times, don't waste what the Lord is teaching you. Amen? So that's nugget number one. Don't waste, because just what you said, it's really easy to get tunnel vision. It's really easy to get, we want to end up in our own closets, mm-hmm. right? We want to shut down and go away. But don't miss what the Lord is teaching you. Sometimes these lessons, they're hard. So if you're going to go through it anyways, you might as well learn the nugget that the Holy Spirit wants to teach you in the middle of that.
Because he may use it later.
Because he may use it later. Right. And the second thing, which you heard, and then heard again, and heard again, and then heard again, and then heard again. The best thing that you can do when you're trying to actually live out your faith and trust the Lord, trying to have great faith, is do what Jesus would do in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm trusting God. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm so discouraged. I don't know. I'm overwhelmed. What would Jesus do? Well, that's easy. Jesus would just be all full of peace. Well, yeah, he would probably. But at the same time, what do my hands find? It's never not the will of God for you to love someone. It's never not the will of God for you to serve someone. It's never not the will of God for you to give and to hug and to do those kind of things.
And one nugget that all is true. But we can be sitting out here saying, "Yeah, but I'm me. You know, and I don't have this skill and I don't have that." Well, when we were in Watford and in different places we were, God gives you grace right. for what he wants right. you to do. If God yes. puts something in your heart yes. to help or to do yes. something or come alongside yes. somebody, yes. you're not on your own. Yes. You're not alone on it.
Yes.
I mean, God's in it. God put that desire to help. So you're not going alone. His grace and his provision and his will and what you need to know, you'll know when you need to know it.
Amen. That's so good. Anything else as we just finishing up here? This wasn't on the sheet, but it's, you know, I'll throw a softball at you, hardball, fastball, slider, and if you swing and miss, that's fine too. So what is it? Maybe we already answered that, but any tips or nuggets for that tension between I don't know what's coming next, but I want to trust the Lord. What was helpful for you in those moments? You know, it's the same question I asked kind of all these other guys.
Right. Well, I have somewhere in the notes on my phone here, you know, it was, I can't tell you how many times I quoted the verse, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, because we didn't know. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And then, to remember that, even in small projects, you don't have to be alone. There are other people that can help. You know, we are always reaching out, even within this body. Should we build a new church that have skills or have connections to people or all kinds of things that we don't even know about, but we don't need to know it yet, but that we're not alone. God's with us, and many times he'll connect or bring somebody by, and you go, that's just what we need to make this really work well. You know, be willing to be willing.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm willing to say yes. I'm not sure what I'm saying yes to, but I'm willing to say, like, Lord, help me to be willing to help me to want to want to.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the verses were just integral. Just had to, I took a picture of this because I just wanted to read part of it real quick off of the song Goodness of God. Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment till I wake up until I lay my head, I'll sing of the goodness of God. Why? Because all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. And with every breath I'm able, I'll keep singing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Amen.
He just is good and faithful. And is trustworthy. He is trustworthy.
It's trustworthy
for all of you, every one of you.
Yes.
8 years old or 80.
Yep.
He's trustworthy, and he's right there for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trusting God doesn't mean that you need to know the end of the story.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming along on this journey for the last few weeks. And God's got this. Say, God's got this.
Yeah, God's got this.
Come on, God's got this. Whatever you're walking through in your life right now, whatever we're walking through as a church, whatever the future holds, God's got this.
Yep.
Let's just keep our hearts soft in his presence. Keep our yes coming. Keep our hearts surrendered. Keep our faith high and do what Jesus would do in the meantime.
Yep.
Do what our hands find to do. Keep our hearts seeking him, and then do what Jesus would do as we're ministering to people around us. Right? We're never going to say, well, we're waiting for the Lord to make our future for sure before we keep reaching out. No. We keep seeking the kingdom of God. Keep loving people. Keep ministering. Amen?
Mm-hmm.